All right, so Parshas Va'era. Parshas Va'era is a very, very interesting, a little confusing beginning to the Parsha. So we're going to start right from the beginning of the Parsha. But to understand the beginning of the Parsha, you have to remember the end of last week's Parsha. Okay, the end of last week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu finally goes to Paro. And what does Paro say? No. Like, Moshe's all excited. We're going to do it. And he's like, actually, no, they're going to work harder now. Get your own straw. And the people are like, you're supposed to, what happened here? And they're all angry. And they come to Moshe upset and screaming. So what does Moshe do? He goes to Hashem angry. Hashem, like, what happened here? Like, why did you make it worse for them? Right? So the scene opens with basically a God just said to Moshe, like, relax, I'm God. Like, I'll take care of it. But he's like, we'll have to see. Is Hashem still upset with Moshe? Is he answering Moshe here also? So let's see the beginning. But what do you want to get to, as you'll see, is the bottom line there, which we'll get to. But just take a look. Let's just read it. So God comes to Moshe again, and he tells him, I am God. Okay? Interesting. Okay, good. Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'Yakov ve'Kel Shakai u'Shmi Hashem lo nadat lehem, and I showed myself to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov as Kel Shakai, but I never told him my name, the name Yudke Vavke. Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time like getting into what the difference is between the two, but the point being, like, I promised them things, right? But I never ever actually did anything. Right, I told them, don't worry, your kids are gonna, right? And none of those things have ever been fulfilled, right? But I've shown myself to them, etc. V'gam ha'kimosi esprisi itam, la'seis lahem etzeretz kanan, la'seis migriya v'sheg aruba. I mean, he says, I have fulfilled my province, but not totally, because they were there, but they didn't get it, it wasn't given to all their kids yet. V'gam ani shamati esnachas b'nei Yisrael shem yitzayim ma'avidim osam v'eskar esprisi. And I've heard, Moshe, what's going on with Am Yisrael, how they're being oppressed. And I have remembered my covenant with them, meaning, don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. Lachain. Therefore, I'm Morla B'nai Yisrael Ani Hashem. Tell the Jewish people I am God. Again, a name that they haven't heard before, right? That name. V'otzeisi Yaschem mitachas Yivlos Mitzrayim v'hitzalti Yaschem me'avodasam v'ga'alti Yaschem mezor nitzav v'yishvatim g'alim. These phrases sound familiar. These are the four Lashonos of Geula, four which are really five, right? V'otzeiti v'hitzalti v'ga'alti, and then v'lakachti Yaschem li la'am, and I'll take them to be my nation. V'ayis lachem la'oki v'idatem ki ani Hashem lokeichem v'otzei Yaschem mitachas Yivlos Mitzrayim. You're going to know who I am now. I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. That's number five, right? The Koshel Yahu, etc. Right? And I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael after all that time. Good? Fine. So Hashem says to Moshe, like, this is what I'm going to do. This is the promise, etc., etc. Come on. So, good. So, Vayedaber Moshe Akina B'nei Yisrael. So Moshe goes and he tells this to B'nei Yisrael. V'lo Shamu al Moshe, but they don't listen. Meaning now, it's a great question what the chronology is here. Are we retelling, some of the freshmen think we're kind of retelling the story. Like that was already, it's like, you know, like on last week's episode, right. You know, like, and sort of like, right, but now they're not listening. Initially they accepted it. Initially they were responsive and now they're not receptive anymore. Okay? And why are they not receptive? We actually gave a shiur a few years ago. We talked about this phrase, kotsa ruach. What does that mean? That they had like a sense of, again, initially you're excited, and then at some point they're like, but it's not happening. And the need for patience, right, in the process was something they didn't have yet. Right? They were just getting accustomed to the idea, and now they're already finding it's harder than they thought it was going to be, and they start to lose it. So vaydaber Hashem Moshe lemor. Now Hashem says to Moshe again. So again, he goes to says, go to Paro and tell him to send him out. But Yedaber Moshe lifnei Hashem lemor. Hey, Bnei Yisrael lo shemu elai. Ve'ichi shmeini Paro v'anir al svasayim. And Moshe says to Hashem, I don't understand. You want me to tell Paro to leave? The people won't even listen to me. I'm working for them. They're not even listening. So now Paro's going to listen to me, right? And again, if you understand it chronologically, this is after Paro already said no. The people got upset. Everybody's angry with him. It's not working, God. So like, what's the deal? Okay. And again, remember, God, I don't know how to speak. Again, this is all like repetition to a certain extent of some of the things we've seen Moshe complain about before. Vayidaber Hashem, so now check the, make a look at this pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe el Aharon. Who shows up now?
Aaron.
Oh, now Aaron's, now we're talking Aaron too. Interesting. Okay. Vayitzaveim al Bnei Yisrael ve'al Paro Melech Mitzrayim lehotzi es Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Someone to translate that pasuk?
He commanded to Bnei Israel and to Paro, the king of Egypt,
to take Israel out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Is he telling Paro to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt?
I don't know. It's confusing. Yeah. It's a little weird.
Is he telling the Jewish people to take themselves out of Egypt?
Maybe.
That'd be a good drasha, right?
Yeah.
Take yourself out of
right,
Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Right, but I'm just saying, read the part. It doesn't make any sense.
I read something. I'm not taking credit for it. That this is one of the first problems.
You can take credit for sharing.
Oh, yes.
Torah. You can take credit for that.
Yeah. So where was Bnei Israel? They were supposed to go with Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe for saying, they're not going to listen to me, and they didn't.
Right.
So where were they? If they had all gone en masse, maybe that would have told Paro, there's a problem here.
Okay.
Start paying attention.
And so meaning by Tzaveim of Bnei Israel is like,
to
support Moshe.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like that. That actually, there's a medrash that says that initially when Moshe and Aaron come, this idea, they were like, all the Zakenim, everybody like came around and gathered around them. And as they got closer and closer to the palace, they start to peel away because it gets scarier and scarier. Mm-hmm. Right, it's getting closer and closer to the palace of Paro, the big bad
like
Paro who's been killing
the
Jews.
Or your boss, and everyone's right. Going to go with you. And
they're like,
and all of a sudden you turn around, everyone's gone, right? Yeah, yeah. And it's just Moshe and Aaron who go in. Yes. Yeah.
Something that I don't know that this is entirely on the topic that we're drilling into with this pasuk, but I was wondering earlier when it says that Hashem spoke to Moshe and then Moshe spoke to Bnei Israel, I was wondering if Moshe said it or Aharon said it, because like, for the rest of the Torah, whenever Hashem speaks to Moshe, then Moshe speaks to Bnei Israel. Doesn't specify Aaron.
Usually Moshe
does.
Right.
We know that it is Aaron who does the speaking, but it just...
Not always.
Okay.
When Moshe speaks to the people, like once they're in the desert, if it says Moshe speaking, then Moshe speaking.
Oh, okay.
In Egypt, there's like a little bit of a interesting conversation about who is doing all the talking here.
Okay.
Does Moshe speak and Aaron like embellishes... Does Moshe get the Nevuah, tells Aaron, Aaron actually does all the talking.
That's
a little bit of
there's a lot of, in
Egypt, there's a lot of talking to be shown him like what exactly Aaron's job was, because if Moshe really has a speech impediment, he really can't speak. Mm-hmm. So he needs Aaron to do that. But it's clear once we get into the desert that Moshe is now speaking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because then as I'm reading this, I'm like, if I were Moshe, I'd be so frustrated. Like you're sending me on these like fool's errands. First you're making me go to tell them something. They're not going to listen. I already made them upset. Now I'm going to Paro and I'm going to tell him to let us go. He's not going to listen. Now I'm coming back. You're roping me and my brother. And then you're commanding that we're going to be released. Like, I would just probably feel so frustrated. But it's also like, is Hashem making a point? Like, okay, now that Aaron's here, now they're going to listen.
Okay,
to
so the exactly addition of Aaron is interesting, yeah.
Right, and so is that like a punishment in a way for like thinking that they weren't going to listen, that Hashem let that actually be what happened? Like, okay, I'll make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to see they won't listen when it's just you, and you need your older brother there for support in order for them to listen.
Chazal do say, earlier, last week's parasha, when Moshe refuses the job multiple times, mm-hmm. right? And finally he says, shlach na biyat tishlach, so many of the parashim say that means send the one you usually send. That's because Aaron was the one in the trenches. Aaron was living there all that time, and he's actually the leader. And Moshe's like, how am I going to come in and become the leader? My older brother has been with them all this time. I've been hanging out in Midian for 60 years, or I've been who knows where for 60 years. And now I show up and I'm the leader. It's like bizarre. It doesn't feel right. So let my brother do it. And that at that point, Hashem says, forget it. You're not gonna keep this. You alter yourself. And that's actually why Aaron becomes the Kohen Gadol, mm-hmm. and Moshe was going to be both. And because of this, Moshe is not the Kohen Gadol. How do you understand that, and why is Hashem angry at him? But that's nice. It's anivus. You know, he's being humble. But like, but yeah, there's definitely a back and forth of that. We, on the one hand, the humility of Moshe is beautiful and part of his refusal to take this job. And he wants Aaron to join him. But at the same time, Aaron coming in is a little bit of a punishment at times.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's an interesting, like, you know, Hashem told you to do it. So he thinks you can do it. Right? Yeah. Good. Okay, but we have to understand this pasuk, and I think understanding this last pasuk hopefully will expand us a little bit in terms of general understanding of the whole thing. And then I have a last piece of the which I think is actually a little different, takes a little different direction, but also I think very meaningful. So take a look at Rashi first. Rashi, source number two, on the all the way in the bottom of the page. Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael. Okay? What does that mean? So what does it mean that Hashem commanded Aaron and Moshe to b'nei Yisrael? We know that already. They already have the job. So vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, says Rashi, tzivam aleihem lehanhigam b'nachas v'lisbolosam. Don't worry about that gemol there. What does that mean? He commanded them lehan higam to lead them benachas,
like peacefully, like not like I don't know, softly,
calmly.
You have to bear with them, bear with them.
Right. Like what is sav? What yeah. And we say savlanut?
Like empathize, maybe like patience. Empathize with them, like
yeah,
with them.
Be a little patient.
Be this way. Get used to it.
Yeah, but it's aveim el bnei Yisrael. Meaning, so the way Rashi reads this is, what has been Moshe's kind of like messaging here, right? They don't listen to me. God, what's the deal? This is ridiculous. How's it going to be? And then God's like, go. Now go back to Paro. Go back to Paro. The people won't even listen. Again, don't get me wrong. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so I'm not like, right? But the responses are very, I don't know, surprising. God, even the people won't listen to me. And so, Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, cool it a little. Take a deep breath, maybe 10 deep breaths, right? And try again. This is how they're going
to
be.
Hashem's teaching him how to be a leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Relax a little. Slow your breathing. And this is what's going to be. If you want to lead these people, like I need you to do. He's like, I don't want to lead the people. You're forcing me. Fine. But if you want to lead the people, you're going to have to do so benachas. And vilisbolosam. You're going to have to be able to be patient with them. Right? You're going to have to be able to manage the challenges. That they bring, right? These people, right? These people are wonderful, the Jewish people, but they also are tough. They're an Am Kshei Oreh. They're very frustrating and stubborn. And so Hashem is commanding him.
Right now. Like, they've been through a lot.
But by the way, even though they've been through a lot, if you're trying to lead them, it could be frustrating. Mm-hmm. Right? Even people who've been through a lot, you have perspective. It's still hard.
It makes them more gunshy. It makes them more nervous. It makes them more, you know,
yeah,
not
worried.
Good things happening.
More worried. Just leave us alone. Good. Now flip it over. Vel Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Well, he commanded them about the Jewish people, and he commands them about Paro. Vel Paro Melech Mitzrayim. What's the command to Paro? See, we're now on page two, all the way at the top. Tzivam alav lachlok lo kavod b'divrahem. Wow, that's interesting. He tells them, if you're going to go to Paro, how should you talk to him?
Respectfully.
It's actually fascinating. If you look throughout the entire story, mm-hmm. you never find one time that Moshe speaks disrespectfully to Paro. Not once. He speaks to him like a king. Mm-hmm. Every time. In fact, you learn halachos about how you're supposed to treat a non-Jewish king and non-Jewish leaders from the stories of Moshe Rabbeinu. The way Moshe Rabbeinu shows kavod to Paro every single time he talks to him. Oftentimes he says things like, you know, he speaks like in third person, or he says things about Paro, but he says as if he's talking about Am Yisrael. They're all times, when you look carefully at the language that he uses, he almost never says anything disrespectful. He does say, don't get me wrong, he quotes Hashem a couple of times, and he says like, if you don't let B'nai B'chari Yisrael, I'm going to kill your B'chor. So he does like, tell him some difficult things to hear respectfully. Yeah. Respectfully. Right? No, but the language, but the way he speaks is actually very kavodik. Zehu Midrasho. So says, bless you. So says Rashi, that's the Medrash. Okay, Vayitzavim Abnei Yisrael, V'Aparo Melech Mitzrayim. Why do those two fit, just by the way? Why if it's Vayitzavim Abnei Yisrael, V'Aparo Melech Mitzrayim, so then why do those two commandments actually fit, I think, very nicely?
Like see your audience who you're speaking before. Like this is what the people need. They need you to be calm and be patient with them. And like the Paro needs you to be respectful to him. And like kind of like
no. Oh, so it's like pragmatic.
Yeah.
If you walk into Paro guns blazing, it's not going to work. You know, you think you are right. You have to speak to Paro in a certain way. That might be one answer. Yeah, good. Or the way I was thinking about it, I like that actually very much. But the way I was thinking about it was like, it's almost by Tzavei Mel B'nai Yisrael. He's giving guidance for how to talk to B'nai Yisrael, like slow down. By the way, you can even connect it. If you show respect to the people when you speak with them, don't speak down to them, right? But show them respect the way you speak with them. Not like a king, but like a fellow Jew, right? You're not their leader who tells them what's what, but you speak to them with respect, so you're going to get further with them, right? It's going to work better. You're going to be able to manage that relationship better, right? And the same thing, by the way, when you talk to Paro. You talk to Paro with, right, in a respectful way, you're going to, because by the way, at the end of the day, what are you really doing in those moments? You're being your best self, right? You're bringing your best self to those conversations, right? Whenever we slow down and speak respectfully and act like a mensch, we get so much more done than if we yell and scream or threaten or whatever the things that none of those things work, mm-hmm. right? You were a student once, right? The moment the teacher loses it, so what happens? All of the cover, all of the respect for the teacher is gone. Your kids will probably come home and tell you, can you believe what the teacher did today? He totally lost it, right? Teacher totally loses it, they lose the kids. Because you lose self-respect, then you lose respect to the people you're in front of, right? So I almost feel like what Rashi's pointing out is Hashem is saying to Moshe, like, Moshe, like, it's not going to work. Like, again, I'm going to be careful, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, but like, stop complaining. Stop complaining about it. Like, don't tell me how hard they are or how Paro is. Or, just like take a deep breath, know who you are, know what you can do, and bring yourself to those conversations and do your best. But don't like pretend that like they don't get it and he doesn't get it and it's because of them. It's in you. You can do this, but take a deep breath and go after it. Right? And if you do that calmly and respectfully, you're going to get much more done. Really interesting. I think that's a whole message right there by itself, which I think is great. And it works, and it's true with our children. It's true with the spouse, it's true with the friend, it's true at work, it's true in every relationship that you have, right? Contrary to what the world tells us or thinks is cool on social media, right? Like screaming like a maniac and telling people what's what. And I'm going to tell this person and all the dreams we have in our head, the daydreams, I'm going to tell that person, da da da. It actually never works, right? If you ever get to that moment, you actually do it, you actually lose your cool on somebody, it never feels better. You feel awful afterwards, and it may have to go apologize. Right? It never works, right? It never works. We dream about those moments sometimes, right? But they never goes anywhere. And you maintain your self-respect and you move along in life when you take this message in mind. Fine, okay. But that's just the midrash. Zeho midrasho. Upshuto tzivam al devar Yisrael val shlichuso. Okay, what's the simple pshat? Vayitzaveim al bnei Yisrael. This is like Ramani. And this is your job, guys. He's commanding them to do their job. Be the shliach of Ami for Am Yisrael. Right? Al Paro. V'davar ha-tzivui maho. Why language of he commanded them? Mifurash v'parsha shniya la'achar seder ha-yachas. Fine, I won't get into that right now. But the bottom line is, the simple shot is like, v'yitzaveima, but he commands them. This is your job. Take care of Am Yisrael and go to Paro. Right? That's sort of like a recap of everything, but this beautiful, drush, I think, is actually very nice also. Fine, but that's Rashi. Okay, but let's take a look at some other ideas. Look at the Ibn Ezra, source number 3. It says the Ibn Ezra, Vaydaber ata klal hainyan. Okay, he wants to explain this idea in general now. Ki gam aharon yeh melitz beino vein paro, right? Aharon's going to be like the translator or like the shliach in between Moshe and Paro. Kasha yifaresh, as we'll explain more later, says Ibn Ezra. And that's why at the end of this whole conversation, why does he bring Aaron back? Because he's going to need Aaron as part of this, right? He's talking to Moshe, but now it's time to tell them, time to go, guys. He brings Aaron back because Aaron's going to be part of the process. Vayitzaveim laleches el b'nei Yisrael ve'el paro melech Mitzrayim. Why does he say Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael? It doesn't mean Vayitzaveim el. It's not commanding them to them. It's commanding them to go. Go try again, Moshe. Because there's two groups here that you're having a hard time with. You're having a hard time with Am Yisrael and you're having a hard time with Paro. So Vayitzaveim b'nei Yisrael, he's like, get out of here. Go. Right? Get back to work, Moshe. I know you had a hard time. You came back after the first one. He spilled his guts. Like, this is so frustrating. I can't do it. Hashem says, okay, blah, blah, blah. This is how this is going to work. I'm going to take care of it. Now go back. Okay? Vayitzaveim laleches al b'nei Yisrael v'paro. Go back. Rav Yoshua Amar, Kitam vayitzaveim shlo yechasu al Yisrael. Vayitzaveim abanei Yisrael. Similar. Don't get angry with them. Im lo yishmu aleihem ve'ein tzorach. If they're not happy, if it's not working, don't lose your cool. Stay calm. And he knew who he was talking to because Moshe Rabbeinu had trouble with that. Moshe Rabbeinu is a very passionate person. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that. He loses his cool a few times with Am Yisrael, most famously at the rock. Mm-hmm. right? That's why he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, right? Because he loses his cool. So that was clearly like Hashem. Someone's like I'm having like a hard day. Someone's like, I'll stay through Baruch Shalom. Someone's like, you made me like this, so you know my problem here, right? So like, but I mean that when I say that sometimes, because like it's true. He knows the most. Why? Because you made me, right? So it's almost like he's like, he knows Moshe Rabbeinu. He knows what he needs. And he's saying to him, Vayitzaveim Abnei Yisrael, he's telling him, Moshe, this is how it's going to work, right? He's letting him know, guys, like this is the mahalach. If you're going to lose it, you're going to get angry, it's not going to work. Fine. Okay. Svorno, source number 4. Vayitzaveim. Again, why does he command him? Mana osam nesarim. Kamo vayismoch es yadav alav vayitzavei. He placed his hands on his head and commands him, meaning, right, that he... He commanded them to become leaders, right? Vizulasam al bnei Yisrael, right? So the first one, why vayitzaveim? It's a similar idea. He's like giving you he gave him his marching orders. Mm-hmm. And like, and now he like has officially vayitzaveim al bnei Yisrael. Now, let's go. Now we rebooted. You have the job. Go for it. Right? It was their installation. There's only one job for you. You're looking at me with a blind face. There's only one job in which you are installed. You know what job that is? Being a rabbi. Mm-hmm. When you're a rabbi, they do this thing called an installation. When I first got here, like some point in 2014, we did an installation. Everyone's like, what do you do at an installation? I was like, I don't know. I've never been to one. I'm not sure what happened. So I was like, do we take you and like put you into something? Like, how does that work? It's like, I think we don't call it coronation for good reason. That would be weird. Inauguration. Yeah, so for a rabbi, they call it an installation. I don't know why they call it that. Only for a rabbi. I don't know, it's super weird.
That's why you have that.
Oh, you install like a
president. They have a chag, a smicha. You get a smicha.
No, but you install like president.
Yeah, yeah. My dad's
they do.
They
have an installation.
He was installed as president.
Installation. There you go. So not just for rabbis. But I always find it super bizarre. It's a super weird word. But
you install a closet. You install a
rabbi. You install a rabbi. Yeah, but the point is, Vayitzaveim is sort of like their installation. Okay? He's like telling them, like, you're ready to go. Okay? Vizulasam. Al bnei Yisrael, and what about al bnei Yisrael? Al bnei Yisrael, kamo el ha'arim lo'acham, meaning el. Sometimes the word el means al. Commanded them about them. Ve'al paro melech Mitzrayim lahotzi. Ve'al paro melech Mitzrayim mana osam nesarim binyan hotzas Yisrael Mitzrayim. And again, and he said, this is you guys. It's almost again. It's like part of the pep talk. He gave them like their title. You're good, guys. You're the boss.
It's official.
Go do it. Yeah, it's official. Go for it. But often she Yisrael, check it out. But often she Yisrael v'gam paro yishmu akorcham the Moshe la'aron hamamunim aleihem ma'osi yisparach. In a way that now that you've given this job, they're going to listen to you.
That's why Aaron had to be there.
Good, very good, excellent. But wait, but
this between this day and Yisrael
time. This day at the end, almost
like
a year.
Yeah.
It's a month for each 3 weeks of warnings. And then a week of a maka. 3 weeks of a warning and then a week of a maka. So it takes about 10 months for all of the makas to take place. Yeah, it's a long time. Not so, you know. But by the way, I just find this interesting. Look at this very end piece in the Sforno is what? Now they're going to automatically listen because you're the boss.
No, of course not.
Well, okay. But it's a very different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Right? The Sforno is saying, until now we've been saying, blah, 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 talk to them like a bench mm-hmm. because... It's not going to work like that, top down, right? And now the Sforno is like, no. Guys, says, don't worry. Now I got you. Now that you have the job, it's like poof. They're going to listen to you. Yeah.
Did Hashem set Moshe up earlier? Because if he didn't give him this advice until after he already spoke to Bnei Israel 2 times, like I feel like Moshe would have lost some credibility with them already. And he already has repairing he needs to do because.
Good.
When he tried getting them freed, I was like, no.
Didn't work. They got angry. Good.
There's so much to make up for, so I feel like this would have been really great advice from Hashem.
Before the first time.
He spoke mm-hmm. to him.
But maybe he wanted to see like if he could do it. Like, can you step up and do it?
Right.
And he saw he needs, I mean, like, obviously Hashem knows, but like giving him the task.
So if Hashem knows, then what's really happening here? It was
what
a setup, Jen. Great, Jess, great job.
Right.
What do you mean it's a test?
We discussed this beforehand, though. To see whether he could do it without Hashem's, like, push.
Okay. Good.
Maybe for Moshe to see how much he needs to partner with Hashem on this, and that you can't just do it on your own or use like whatever skills that you think he came into this
okay.
with to succeed.
Good, yeah.
Emuna, whether he had enough faith in himself to do it without Hashem's push.
Yeah. All those things are true, I think. Or maybe another possibility. I think they're all true. This is life. God doesn't just hand it to you, right? He makes you work for it, and you hit a wall, and you're annoyed, and you are angry, and frustrated, and sad, and you have to like try again. And so he's like, "Good job. We do this with our kids, right?
Like
you send them out. But why don't we just tell them exactly what to do? First of all, if we tell them what to do, they wouldn't listen anyways." Right, they don't listen until they smack their head against the wall and they come back like, I hit my head. You're like, I know I told you to wear a helmet. Oh, yeah, but I wouldn't listen the first time you told me to wear a helmet, right? So it's not about the helmet, but right, the metaphorical helmet, right? The point being, that's what people need. People need to try and mess it up and say, oh, that wasn't good. Now I need your advice, right?
Even Moshe fails.
Even Moshe needs, right? Moshe fails a lot, right? And he needs help again.
That this is the same Moshe baby that ate the coal. Not
according to the Medrash, yeah. But the same baby who grew up in his house.
Right.
Presumably,
so
yes.
So then he knows him or doesn't know him?
Well, again, remember, Vayamas Melach Mitzrayim.
Right.
Right? So the king...
But no one told anybody about him?
We don't know. But according to the prince...
According to the movie, it's his brother.
But according to the movie, it's his brother, but that's actually could be correct even according to Tanakh. Mm-hmm. According to the story, because if Paro dies, right, which is, again, this is earlier on, we see that Paro died. So if Paro dies, who's the Paro? Presumably Bas Paro's father, right? He's the one who dies, which means that who's the king? Presumably Moshe's brother. Probably it's true.
But there could have been 100 different siblings.
There could have been. Right. No, all I'm saying is that idea that the Prince of Egypt makes it to be Ramses, his brother, who that's not, it's actually, it's not so crazy. It's very possible that was true. Because if the father died, right?
There's a rivalry anyway.
Maybe. It could be. That's the movie makes up. But the point being is that that's not so crazy because, this Paro probably knew Moshe and told 60 years ago. Moshe was gone for 60 years, but he probably knows who he is. Probably, yes. Okay, so let's see the Chizkuni, and then I want to show you a really cool idea from Chaim Shmuel. Yes. Yes. Yes.
What is the question on the Pesukim that the Mefarshim are at?
Because the Pesuk doesn't make grammatical sense. Vayitzaveim el bnei Yisrael vel paro melech Mitzrayim lohotzias bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. And he commanded, first of all, the language is funny, el bnei Yisrael was committed to the Jewish people. What does that mean? And commanded to Paro to take the Jewish people out of Egypt.
So it's like,
what is being said? What is the point of this? What is this pasuk really trying to teach me? Because it grammatically doesn't make any sense. So usually when a pasuk is grammatically nonsensical, there's like more symbolism. There's more going on here. There's words missing. But obviously, words are not missing. Because mm-hmm. if they were supposed to be there, they would have been placed there, right? So the words are not missing, but there's something that's being delivered in the style here. I'm glad you asked the question. There's something being delivered in the style that is asking, right? Someone said, the Chazal will say, the Pasuk Omer Darsheni. The Pasuk says to me, like, explain me, right? Explain me, because I don't make sense. Right, explain what this means, right? And by the way, we believe that in general, right? We have a Torah Shebichtav and we have a Torah Shebaalpeh. We don't believe that one is incomplete without the other. So we don't ever believe like a look at a pasuk by itself and that's what it means. We always have to darshan the pasuk. So you have a pasuk like this, it doesn't really make any sense. If you just read it, no problem. Chazal are going to help us pull that out and figure it out. Okay, great. Okay, so take a look at the Chizkuni source number 5. And Moshe ve'el Aaron. Why is he speaking to Moshe and Aaron? L'fayes da'itol shemoshe. So why is Aaron here? Because Moshe is having a hard time doing this by himself. It sounds like to appease, right? That Moshe is feeling overwhelmed by this all by himself. And Hashem brings in Aaron, which is funny though, because chronologically he already had Aaron there. So what does that mean exactly? But I think the point is that generally, right, Hashem brought Aaron in because Moshe felt he couldn't do this by himself. He needed
that. Well, that's showing like a degree of empathy from Hashem. Like, I get that this is hard. You're having a hard time. You just struck out a couple times.
Right.
We're gonna bring your brother in. You have your support. And like,
we'll get you a swigging coach.
And I'm giving you the advice of how to talk.
Yeah, whatever.
The support, and we're giving you the coaching for me. Like, you'll be set.
And I think that once you have all of that, you will be able to now do the thing I'm asking you to do. Because I believe in you.
Aaron has power. that he hasn't displayed yet. At the beginning, it's magic with the mate that the other magicians could do. But I'm obsessed with his mate. I've mentioned it here before. I think it's Avraham's mate that was created in the last 10 minutes, maybe, before Shabbos. And Aaron has it. And when did Aaron get it? And it's very significant.
It's like the donkey. There's a discussion about the same donkey that Bilam rides on, the same donkey that Moshe rides on.
That's not to be taken lightly.
Yeah.
It could be with the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good.
You could write a term paper.
You could, absolutely. Good. Okay, good, fine. So he does it to make him feel better. Devar Acher, another possibility. Vayitzaveh Mabanei Yisrael L'dabir Aleihem Kol Masha Kosev L'malah Mitchilas Sidra Al Lachem Morashan Yashem. Or he's saying he just told them this whole thing. He says, remember that whole thing I just told you? Tell that to them. That's a very reasonable answer. Okay, it's not as exciting, but it's a very reasonable answer. He's just explaining the pasuk, right? He commanded them about that whole thing I just told them to Bnei Israel, and now go tell Paro that I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to take them out from you. That's what's going to happen. Fine. Okay. But now I want to show you a totally different shot. Totally different shot. Okay? This is Chazal taking this in a totally different direction, but I think it's really cool. Source number 6 says the Yerushalmi. We don't learn a lot of Talmud Yerushalmi in this year, but you'll see why we have it here. Says Yerushalmi the following. Take a look at the end of the first line. Amar Bishmu bar Yitzchak. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe el Aharon. Vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael. And he commanded Am Yisrael. What does he command them? It doesn't say that he commanded them anything. What mitzvah? Vayitzaveim usually means, and he gave them a command, something for them to do. Well, we don't find it to take them out of Egypt. It's not something for the Jewish people to do. So what does it mean he commanded them? Vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael. Amat Sivam says the Gemara, al parshas shiluach avadim. He taught them a halacha. What was the halacha? He says, guys, let me explain something to you. Sometime you're gonna live in Eretz Yisrael. They're like, yeah, right. You know, I promise you're gonna live in Eretz Yisrael, there's gonna be people who, they get into economic difficulty, and the guy can't pay. He took a loan from you, he can't pay it back, or he stole from you, and now he can't return it. He doesn't have any money to pay you. So what's he gonna do? You're gonna take him to be what's called an Eved Ivri. Okay, he's technically a slave. It's not really a slave, right? It's not. You have to treat him better than you treat yourself. The halachos of Eved Ivri. We use the word slave for Eved, but it doesn't really mean a slave. It's like indentured servitude. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it wasn't great. It wasn't great, but it's not like they didn't like whipping their Jewish friend to build pyramids for them, right? But fine, you have this guy who works for you, fine, and it can be a man or a woman. And what happens after a certain amount of time? The Yovel comes, or the 6 years are over. Actually, every Shemitah, 6 years are up. Slaves go free. Whether he's paid you back, hasn't paid you back, it doesn't matter. All slaves go free. Everybody goes free. Okay? So Moshe taught them that halacha right now.
That makes sense.
Sorry? What is going on here? Okay. So I have for you the sefer called Sichos Moshe. Sichos Moshe is a sefer written by Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Chaim Shmuel Levitz, you have a picture and a little bio on the back page here if you'd like to look for more. Chaim Shmuel Levitz was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Mir. And Mir was it's called Mir because it was in Mir in Poland. And then eventually the Mir Yeshiva goes to Shanghai during the war. Chaim Shmuel Levitz was Rosh Yeshiva in Mir in Shanghai. He was actually offered to leave while he was there, him and his family, and he said, I will not leave until every student leaves. So he stayed for 5 more years in Shanghai as Rosh Yeshiva until they eventually all moved, the entire Yeshiva then moved to Eretz Yisrael. Right now, Yerushalayim, you can go to the Mir Yeshiva in Israel. And he remained Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim until 1979, when he passed away. Okay? Chaim Shmuel Levitz wrote a sefer, right? He would give shmuzin in the Yeshiva, and there was compiled, I don't think he wrote these words, I think someone compiled them for him, this sefer called Sichos Musar, who gives beautiful, beautiful drushes, basically, on all kinds. It's all Musar, it's all like, you know, self-reflection, self-work type of stuff. So take a look. I gave you some excerpts from it because it's a long piece. And he writes the following. Third paragraph. on the way end of the line. V'yesh li bonein. See where it is? See what it says that over here? V'yesh, last word on the line. V'yesh li bonein. V'yesh li bonein. It's worthy to think about. Ma tam nitzdavu b'mitzvah zu b'osah shah. What does it mean? Shliluch avadim right now? They didn't even start leaving. Like, what is this all about? V'harei ein mitzvahs eved ivri no heges el b'zman shayovel. You're not going to have eved ivri until they're in Eretz Yisrael and there's a shmita on a yovel. This is going to be, you know, 40 plus years from now. Vim Kane, by the way, it's not going to be these people. Most of them. I mean, those people are going to die in the desert. They don't know that yet. But I'm just saying. Vim Kane, matam lahakte mitzvah zu, olifnei matan Torah. They haven't gotten the Torah yet. They don't know what anything is. They don't know what Shabbos is. They don't know what Kashrus. They don't know anything. Evidently free. What's going on here? Flip the page. Al Kane. So I'm skipping here, but he writes the following. Okay, stubble benitzu zu dafka b'shah sheyatzu me'atzmam mibeis habadim. He says, I'll tell you why he gave this halacha now. What's going to happen? They're going to go into Eretz Israel, and they're going to spend a lot of time, and then eventually they're going to get this mitzvah. And they'll have been slaves, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and you give them this mitzvah, and they're like, all right, nice mitzvah. But if you give it to them now, while they are currently slaves, what's going to happen? And they tell them that there's going to be this guy and he's working for you and it's really hard and it's really difficult. He doesn't have enough money. You know? And at some point, he goes free. And it's your job to free him.
No, we'll give him hope, incentive.
So give them hope and incentive, but also they'll say to themselves, how are they going to feel about that guy, that mysterious guy who's going to be there ever and every? How do they feel about him?
Don't forget what it's like to be a slave.
When they're leaving the house of servitude, they're like imagining this opportunity to leave Egypt, to not be slaves anymore. They're like, wow, can you imagine that would be like, right? The moment when they're dreaming and they're seeing in front of their eyes that they're going to go free. Mishiba lagula mafia lor godo, hi hasha haksheira. This is the moment for that they could really listen and really understand this beautiful commandment. That after 7 years, I don't care, the guy still holds you money. Doesn't matter. He's gone. You let him go. It's time for him to go free. Because you know what it's like. Because you had this experience. By the way, it's like 20-something times in the Torah where it says, Rabbi Sachs writes about this a lot. Many times, I think over 24 times that the Torah says, and you should do the following. Why? Because you know what it's like. Treat the ger nicely. Treat the evid nicely. Treat this person, that person, because you know what it's like to be beaten up and forgotten about and kicked in the corner. You know what it's like to be that person. Okay? If they would get this commandment later at Har Sinai, sometime, you know, 20 years into being in the desert, they've already cooled down from that feeling of what it's like to be free. It wouldn't catch on enough. Since they had that, they were given this mitzvah when they're open to hear it. They could really totally accept it. They should never forget about it. Even after the time when this intense feeling of like joy, what it means to be free, would leave them. Fine, that's why he tells them right now. So he says, but that's very nice. But how are they going to remember? What are they going to do? So he says, Hashem himself tells us how to do that. What happens after Hashem brings the flood to Noah and the people of the time of Noah? He makes the rainbow. Why does he make the rainbow? The rainbow is not a nice, you're not supposed to show, like, if you see a rainbow is not a nice good thing to see. I mean, it's good, sort of, but why is it bad?
It's like, remember what you did.
So Hashem, it's Hashem's reminder. Okay, Hashem doesn't need a reminder, right? But Hashem says I'll look at the rainbow and I'll remind myself not to destroy you again. When Hashem doesn't remember, right? He says it. So what's the answer? Hashem is teaching us.
You should remember.
We should remember, and what should we do? We should make reminders for ourselves of how to when we have a moment of inspiration, right? Don't say, oh, that was exciting. Back to my day. You have a moment of inspiration, so then do something with it right now. Do something right now in this moment, whatever it's going to be, right? You take a, every person is different, right? Something you're going to do to remind yourself. I had a baseball coach when I was a kid, Coach G. I've told you about Coach G before, right? So Coach G one time said to me, I still remember this. I was on the bus, and I played a good game or something. And he's like, Benny, I want you to bottle this feeling. Bottle it. Huh?
And bottle it.
I want you to bottle that feeling, right? And hold on to that. And I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay? But I know now what he means, right? Certain feelings you want to hold on to, right? You want to hold on to, you remember. Like that, and by the way, to be fair, and I mean this honestly, like the encouragement and the way, like I was not so good when I started on the baseball team, but like as I moved along, he encouraged me. It showed me that I could accomplish things if I worked hard at it, right? There's a value that you learn. That's why one of the reasons I love sports. I think it teaches, for people who like sports, it teaches you what you can do. Yeah. If you work and you try, all of a sudden this thing that you really weren't so good at, you get better and better and better and better. You're like, wow, I could actually improve at something. And someone could encourage someone. But for every person, I don't think it could be math for the person or drama or whatever it is that you like. The hobbies that kids get into and adults, it helps you see like, wow, look, I could like get, you play guitar, I don't know, and you get better, you take lessons and you get better. You're like, wow, I actually have talent or potential, or I can change myself. But I can improve myself.
Like, and even like Allah has come, like you would think, okay, someone who was a slave is always going to treat their own slave.
No, well, but it's really the opposite.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
People are like, I'm a big man now.
Correct. And there's a lot of Torah about that. What happens when Am Yisrael freed and the desire that Hashem, we'll talk about this later, we get to it. The night of leaving Mitzrayim, that we're told to stay in our house and not to come out. So some of the Farshim talk about it, and because what otherwise could have happened could have been a slave revolt. Mm-hmm. Now go kill your master, or have him give you money and stuff so that you don't hate him, his guts as much, and don't turn it into a slave revolt. Don't become them, right? So much of what's happening is an education of how not to become them. And from the very first moment, Vayitzaveinu Bnei Yisrael, what? Teach them that you're not going to be like your masters. Mm-hmm. And you're going to appreciate what it meant to have that freedom. And you're going to empathize with this person in this difficult moment. But what you should do now, his point is not just remember it, but do something with it. Right? Whatever kind of, put a sign on your door. Don't be, whatever, like those little cute things people have to hang on their walls, right? Some people like them, some people don't. I like some of them because it's quotes. Inspirational quotes. Whatever you like, or you don't, or a picture, or this, or a hanhaga. A person says, now I'm going to do X mitzvah differently, or I'm going to do, right? You had a moment of inspiration, you went to a trip to Israel, you went on a this, you had a moment of inspiration and learning, whatever it was. You say, you know what? I'm not going to just leave it. Because if I just leave it, it's just going to peter out. But I'm going to do something with it. That's what Hashem does. He gives us a mitzvah to keep. And many mitzvahs to keep that are all constantly reminders. Ki atem yadatem nefesh agir. You know what it's like. So don't forget. So do this different. And treat these people this way. And have this halacha and this mitzvah. And put on all the things that you do to remind yourself that you're different. And you're not going to treat people that way. And that, in that way, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that's the pshat. Vayitzaveinu Bnei Yisrael was, again, mysterious. We're not told what it was. But it was a commandment that he's told to give them at the very, now, because this is when it hits. This moment Moshe goes, Makos start. The whole process is about to begin. And that moment before you go, before you get started, Klal Yisrael, remember what it's like, you're a slave now, just for a little bit longer. And your freedom is about to start. Don't forget what it's like. Because when you meet somebody else who's in that same place, you're going to treat them differently than you were treated. Vayitzaveinu Bnei Yisrael. Cool. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day, a great rest of the week.